Warning, this podcast is strong enough to fight the Kaiser at 50 paces and win. Listener discretion is advised.
I mean, good Lord, how could we ever be equal to them? They're big and noisy and opinionated. And we're little and noisy and opinionated. It's all so obvious, I'm surprised I'm having to spell it out.
Welcome to the Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast. Siskoid here. The reason I'm so unenthused is because we've just wasted a half hour, not on tape, because Fern is pissed that certain videos about, you know, spinning dicks or...
No. It's not the spinning dicks one is online. It's Rob Schraub's video about Jaws 4, where he essentially fucks a lemon.
And we're not talking about romance comics because this was my last half hour, people. Say hi, Fern.
Hi.
Say hi, Bess.
Hey.
Say hi, Marty.
Hi.
Okay, now we're in the show.
Yeah. Right. Ivan Drago'd you. We must break you.
We can move on from
I'll send you guys a video of the guy tapping the watermelon for like an hour. It's good.
Yes.
Very relaxing.
Please do.
Oh, Lord.
TV is dead.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
In a way. The show isn't like this usually. If this is your first episode, do yourself a favor and go start at the start.
Do yourselves a favor. Go listen to the Night Vale, any other podcast at this point.
I love the Night Vale.
I know, it's great. Shout out to Night Vale. Woo.
There you go. But, okay. It makes sense that what we will be doing is talking about romance comics, usually the classic ones. Today is a classic episode.
Yes.
Well, the episode's not necessarily classic, but we're going to be talking about an old 1960s romance comic. Sometimes we talk about romances in comics. Anyway.
We like to party.
And if it started weird, well, it makes sense because we often choose for our romance comics theater portion, we often choose a weird, something slightly off. Mm-hmm. And I've gone a number of times to a comic book anthology that's called Weird Love, which is an anthology of old comics that have passed into the public domain, mm-hmm. and that a couple of editors at IDW have compiled. So in their own introduction to the series, which started a year and a half ago or so, they talk about how a lot of romance comics are just the same. They're very much the same one from the other. Girl meets boy, boy leaves girl, girl cries, some resolution, you know.
Superpowers, aliens, dinosaurs, robots.
Very rarely. So when that happens, they found those comics and they've put them in this series.
They must have looked at like thousands of comics.
I know. Well, obviously they're not going for the Marvel and the DC ones.
Okay, yeah.
Which were a big pile of comics. They're just using stuff that's gone into the public domain. A lot of it is Charlton Comics.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. this story we've picked today, which we'll reveal soon, is from a Charlton comic. So I think all the Charlton stuff, all this Charlton romance stuff, has gone into the public domain, I suppose, or there's an easy fee to pay, or however they work.
Isn't the Charlton, mm-hmm. that's what Watchmen's based off, right? Those characters?
Right, and the story we'll be reading today was written by Joe Gill, who is apparently the most prolific writer in comics ever.
Ever?
He,
wow.
Allegedly, he wrote 100 to 125 pages a week of comics.
Wow.
So he wrote, and he mostly for Charlton, so he basically was the Charlton workhorse who just wrote every kind of comic, you know. He's the co-creator of Captain Atom.
Okay.
And a couple of others like Peacemaker and Judo Master. So Peacemaker became, in Watchmen, you know, all those characters became other characters. So Captain Atom became Dr. Manhattan in that version of the
Judo
story.
Master
Judo Master was wasn't in it, sadly. The Comedian was basically based on The Peacemaker, which was also a Joe Gill creation.
We should do like our own spin on it. Should, like, who watches The Loveman? Who loves The Loveman?
Who loves The Loveman?
Who loves
The Loveman?
Who loves The Watchmen and who watches The Loveman?
So a lot of them are Charlton comics like this. Okay. And a lot of them will be, have been written by Joe Gill, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And, well, let's say it's a bi-monthly series. So if you want to get into it and look at some of these odder stories, it's like, it's, you know, it's basically romance comics as normal, except the girl's gone insane, except the man is a secret communist. You know, they fall in love at a zoo and the bear is involved. So
How could you love a commie?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that.
So basically, it's weird love.
Weird love.
There you go.
Yeah. Weird love.
And they fall in love, he's a werewolf. She's a mummy.
The series is still ongoing. It's still an ongoing series. They've reached the 9th issue. It's every 2 months. There should be an issue available.
Nice.
So this is from the very first one, issue number 1. Mm-hmm. It's The Taming of the Brute.
Oh.
It's called. Well, you've read it.
Yeah.
you've read it. So The Taming of the Brute, it's from Just Married, number 53, July 1967, which is way too late, in my opinion, for this kind of story.
As we'll see.
Okay.
The writer was Joe Gill, as we said. The artist was Vince Coletta, who is best known as Jack Kirby's inker through most of the 60s and 70s.
I thought you were going to say, like, Spider-Man. It's like, best known as Spider-Man.
No, best known? No.
Like, he has a secret identity or something.
Best known as
Vindicator.
Well, Jack Kirby's inker. I mean,
who knows?
You get powers by osmosis.
Who knows? The Shadow knows.
Instead of reading it ourselves, we're just going to let Romance Comics Theater take over.
Okay. All these people here? You know, in the studio right now, the entire theater?
Yeah, they're all here.
I'm putting you on the spot. It's fine.
Yes, the whole theater is here. We'll open the drapes and start the music, and then the actors will come on stage. We'll see you right after it.
Okay.
The Taming of the Brute. Nick's been after me for weeks to go out with him, and this afternoon he comes up to me, disregarding Georgie, who took me to the beach, asks for a date. Georgie says, "See here, Nick, you..." And Nick doesn't even look angry as he slaps my, as of this moment, ex-boyfriend down. And then before I can scream, slap, or even pucker, he's got me in his arms kissing me. And I love it. Oh, it's unbelievable. Absolutely wild. But I'll tame him. When I'm through, he'll be absolutely domesticated.
Don't try to pretend you didn't like it, Ducky. If you...
I didn't complain, Muscles. Now, if you'll turn me loose, we can discuss this in a rational manner.
I've been watching you quite a while.
I know. I've been waiting for you to do something. Nick is fun to be with. I don't hate all those lovely muscles as much as I pretend.
Can you swim underwater?
Of course. Why?
Just do it, and I'll show you.
Oh. Oh! Well, girl, this is what you thought he meant, isn't it? You'd better mean it, chum. I don't go in for fun and games.
Just wait, m'lady. I'll be around. Maybe for the rest of your life.
Nick calls and asks for a date, but... Sorry, Nick. Not with you looking like that. And he takes the hint. Next time he calls, he's definitely welcome. Please come in, Mr. Mastros.
I brought you flowers, Loretta.
Thank you, Nick. You look absolutely handsome.
I'm glad now I wore a necktie.
He has frequent lapses, forgetting that a lady likes to have a car door open for her.
I thought you said you'd like to have dinner at Hugo's. What are you standing there like that for?
I may turn around and go back in the house.
Sorry, hon.
You may be hopeless, Nicholas. We'll wait and see. It seems that things just ain't right. He's a marv dancer.
How's this, beautiful?
You're showing a lot more promise, doll. One of these days, Brute, you'll wake up and discover you've turned into a gentleman.
If you weren't so gorgeous, I'd walk out of here, right now.
He's fighting back, but he doesn't have a chance.
If I'm so crude, maybe you'd better not go out with me again.
Now, darling, don't pout. This one is not going to get away. And I'm beginning to believe I've got plans which include him. So, don't be mean, Nick. Please kiss me goodnight.
Well...
I'm sure I don't want him to go away mad.
Tell me one thing, doll. Do you like me or not?
darling, if you must know. I'm crazy about you.
I can take a hint.
At times, he's got terribly simple habits, like racing up and down the beach playing childish games, instead of behaving the way a date should. So I twist his arm a little.
Of course you can borrow my car, but why? The game's almost over and...
One of your playmates can give you a ride home, and you can pick up your car at my house tonight. That night, Nick was so angry, I thought he was going to hit me, but he didn't. And I'll bet he's going to propose tonight. He does. I accept. We get married in my church, and he lets me choose his best man. I want a double ring ceremony. He wants only me to wear a ring. So, I slip the golden band on his finger and an invisible ring through his nose. And we're going to Paris on our honeymoon. Poor Nick. He'd actually wanted to go to Miami. Oh, poor Nick does have a problem. But I try to help him correct all his worst habits. Then the honeymoon is over and we're coming home. You've behaved nicely these past few days.
Can I get you anything, Mr. Mastros?
Nothing, thank you.
That's my boy. He's a living doll. My boy is a jewel. Well-behaved, well-trained, and eager to please.
Service with a smile, Mrs. Mastros.
Wipe your feet, Nicholas. We don't want our new rug tracked up. I break him in early. He's a treasure in the house. Sometimes I get nervous. It's almost as if Nick is overdoing a good thing.
More coffee, anyone? How about you, Loretta?
After seeing this, I all of a sudden decided I'm never gonna get married.
How did you do it, chum? It's positively amazing. He's like a timid little lamb. Remember the first day how he knocked George down and then kissed you? What a brute he was then.
What have I done? More important, how can I undo it? Nick, can't you clean up more quickly? And the coffee was worse than usual tonight. In the morning, you...
You folks better go. I guess it's about time I quit kidding this tomato I'm married to.
Why, that brute is...
I hope to heaven he is.
Oh! Ah! Ah! I asked for it, and I got it. But I certainly didn't expect it to be this painful.
Now, woman, who wears the pants in this family?
You do, Nick! I'll never forget it again! I learned later from Nick that he was humoring me, waiting for me to come to my senses. And he finally gave in and gave me a hint. Oof. The end.
It seems that things just ain't right.
Bravo! Wow. Bravo!
Wow!
Now, usually I do the credits as part of a little blip. Little blipvert. Anyone got that reference?
A blipvert?
No one? Max Headroom?
I think
no one
did that.
No one did Max Headroom?
I didn't see Max Headroom. Oh, God. Sorry.
You're a child. You're a child.
I think I did
born
a blipvert
this morning in the bathroom. I'm the youngest one here. I'm from the 90s. Help.
You're living the Max Headroom future, by the way.
Actually, you are. You are, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I have a lot of headroom right now.
But you can borrow it.
I have no
idea. You can borrow
it.
I have the whole
what is it?
Season box. It was a TV show in the...
90s?
80s?
Late 80s with
late
Matt
80s.
Frewer.
80s.
Matt Frewer.
Yeah. Max Headroom was a character that also sold Coca-Cola.
Dude,
again,
which he has not seen.
Again, I was born in 1990. Not, I do not know 80s commercials.
Well, Max Headroom was the first vlogger ever.
Hi, this is Max Headroom on Network 23, brought to you by... No. I'm sorry, but if they think I'm endorsing car accessories, they've got another dipstick coming. No, they've tried this one before, and I'm radial tired of it.
He was like a rogue AI, and he stuttered. Like, yeah. He had terrible lag issues.
Is he?
Like, he'd be talking like this.
So who's better, Max Headroom or the dolphin from Johnny Mnemonic?
Johnny Mnemonic?
Oh.
Do they fight?
No, they don't fight.
Oh.
They should.
I love that dolphin.
Although, to be fair, Max Headroom, because he wasn't attached to a physical body, was probably better than the dolphin, which was named Jones, by the way.
Mad trivia skills.
I love my Johnny Mnemonic.
This is Johnny Mnemonic.
It was the closest thing John I ever Hurt. Got to a Shadowrun movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren was the street preacher.
Okay.
Well, that's enough of that.
I never do the credits. Oh, God. It's my own fault. I never usually do the credits live with you guys, but this time I will, because it's nice to thank the people that do the voices.
We love you guys.
And sometimes the voices come to me in different ways. So originally, the character of Nick was supposed to be played by Mike Gillis from the Radio versus the Martians podcast. You know, there's a call out there. If you want to do a voice, just get in touch with us through Facebook and we can arrange it. And then you can just tape it on your phone or however you do it. That's what usually happens. But Mike, something happened. He wanted to do it in his own studio, the studio he has access to, couldn't do it, so he found a replacement. He could have just told me, you know, if something it fell through and I would have made Fern do it, you know. Yeah. But,
backup plan is me.
Sure.
I'm sorry,
everyone. One of you would have been a backup plan for any male voice, obviously. But he couldn't do it. He got in contact with a friend of his from his own podcasting circle.
Dan Lombardo.
So he got his friend to do the voice, send me the voice. So there's some podcasters out there who want to do voices, and we get them on here.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's cool. Since he was an American who was doing a voice in the story, I wanted the female lead to also have a more neutral accent than mine, let's say.
And yours, yeah.
Okay. So I got it. So sometimes I try to get people from my own life or from my past. So we've had my half-sister from Texas on the show before.
Or open up doors and closets to leave.
Sure. And, and
Denise Oliver
is an old friend from school.
Okay.
She was my sister's best friend, but was my age. So we've always been, you know, friends. She lives in Ontario now, and she does voices for a living.
Really?
Oh, does cartoon voices, that kind of thing.
Cool.
She's been a PJ for YTV Ontario.
Oh, wait. And I thought your sister was cool.
I can get paid for doing voices?
Oh,
well,
yeah?
I've been living my life wrong.
Well, as she says, it pays really well because they're in a union.
Right.
But there's not that much work.
Yeah.
So when there's work, it pays well.
Especially a video game voice actors went on strike.
Yeah.
And because there's a union, she actually had, you know, I asked her, oh, Denise, would you be interested? I'm doing this crazy project, you know. Do you have an open mind? Because you've heard the story, how it ends. So,
yeah. She must have been scared, because, I mean, the opening, it's on the internet, and do you have an open mind? I mean, how could she say yes?
Yeah. So she agreed, but she had to ask her agent, and, you know, there's this whole thing to see if she could actually lend her voice to our Rinky Dink podcast, because she's a professional.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So
she has an agent, you know, right? There.
The other voices, by the way, Marty played Nick's friend.
Yep.
Bravo.
Not played at this recording. Okay. Will play. She hasn't yet played, but will play. Nat plays Loretta's friend. And I'm going to ask Andréanne to play the stewardess, since they're coming back from France, and I'm sure she has a non-neutral accent. Andréanne probably has a Frenchy accent.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So she's going to play the stewardess, or will have played the stewardess.
I don't know if the mics can go down that low. She's pretty tiny.
Yeah, she's like four feet high.
She's 4 foot 11.
Four foot 11?
Technically 4'11", and I like saying she's like 3'6".
Oh, my God.
Pisses her off.
So they play.
Thank you. Bravo. Oh,
thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
And if you're someone out there who's interested in lending a voice, we're doing one of these every show. So if you have a particularly sexy voice, it may be useful. It may be useful.
Yeah. God knows we don't.
So this romance comic, this story, The Taming of the Brute.
Yes.
What do we think?
Oh, my God. It starts off with an assault. This is wonderful.
Yeah, but it also ends with one.
I know.
I just want to say it's very Shakespearean inspired.
Yeah.
It's just a sex switch on Taming of the Shrew, the title and everything, you know.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, Mike, when you told us to read this one, you mentioned the discussion is going to be about the wrongness of the story.
Well, it might have been.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was still the main theme.
When I assigned it, I hadn't read it.
Oh, okay.
I just knew the title. I looked at the pictures really quickly, and it ends with a spanking. I thought, well, we got to do this one.
Yeah
but it's all kinds of wrong all over the place, though.
I feel bad
I think
for
we're
that.
Pulling the curtain back here, Dr. Oz.
I feel bad for the guy that Archie looked lookalike in the first panel, just on the ground.
Do you think the Archie lookalike was, I mean, they planned an Archie lookalike? Because she kind of looks like Veronica.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually in my notes. He's a brute, she's a Veronica. I actually wrote that down.
Well, there you go. Great minds.
You know, and that could have been an Archie, George. the character of George, who doesn't get a line. Yeah. That didn't come to mind right away because I was thinking, you know, it's like the Charles Atlas ads.
Yes. In those old comics where, you know, the guy gets pushed down by the bully.
Right. The skinny kid is gets sand kicked in his face, and then he...
Send in $5, we'll send you an AR-15 assault rifle.
So what we don't see...
we just send you x-ray specs and you're fine.
Yeah, we just don't see George go home, get the book, and get all the girls as hero of the beach.
Right.
That's what we're missing.
Yeah. This feels like the beach blanket bingo mixed martial arts. <It's>,
No, but seriously, this guy comes over, pushes the other guy down, just grabs the lady, kisses her on the mouth. I mean,
he decked the guy in the face. He has a black eye. Look at that. Poor guy.
Oh, I thought that was just
poor inking. He doesn't have a black eye. He broke his eye socket.
He broke his eye socket? That's where you put your eyes.
George is going to be on, like, disability benefits for the rest of his life.
But you'll note she'd been waiting.
Yeah, she loves it.
She loves it. She'd been waiting for this. So
she dumped George immediately.
Well, I think George was just a cover. Like, I'll bring George.
No, George.
It'll force the issue.
George was just bait. He was nerd bait. It was like, here's my nerd. The brute's going to come. And
yeah, a bunch of nerds do not trust women. In 1967, nerds did not trust women.
No, Revenge of the Nerds didn't even come out yet. That changed nerds 82. All over.
Yeah. I mean, and she's, she's manipulative.
She is. Oh.
She's a lot of things.
She is my saucy little minx.
Yeah, but then they have the kiss the underwater kiss. They're underwater longer than you know in your average Aquaman story.
Have you ever done this? Has anybody this is not an easy thing to do.
To kiss underwater, I've tried.
It's a sure way to drown.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. He says, what does he say? First of all, he says "milady," which no, please don't.
Milady has kind of lost its power in recent years.
Yeah, just wait, milady. I'll be around maybe for the rest of your life. You are kissing her underwater. The rest of her life might not be very long in this case. She might drown. So, you know, I'll be here for the next 15 minutes.
And they're deep. Because, I mean, you start running in the water. That means it's high tide.
Yeah.
This is high tide. And then they're swimming, you know, they're doing lengths. Like Olympic links.
In a coral reef.
And, so like and then they're underwater, and you can see coral or some sort of
I think it's
thick
Nessie.
Algae.
It's Nessie back there. It's the Loch Ness Monster or something.
They're really deep. And then in that same page where she's, let's say, buoyant.
Yeah.
So she's buoyant. Yeah. And his eyes are not quite looking at her face.
they're up here, buddy boy.
I think he's generally just surprised that her bikini changed color in the water.
It was red, and then it's
black.
I think it's, you know.
Like her soul.
Sure. Oh, it's not that. Well.
Oh, yeah, she's not a nice lady.
No.
And she says there that she doesn't play games. Yeah. So don't play games with me. I'm not playing games. She's been playing games since the first panel.
Well, that's the first sign of somebody who plays games.
They don't play games.
I do not play games.
I mean, what's playing games? They just kiss in the water? Is that a game?
Well, running in the water.
Is that romantic?
If
that's a game, I play to win.
Using Archie as bait. That's
she's saying, you know, don't toy with me.
Yeah.
This can't be a a one shot underwater kiss deal.
She's not a pickup.
She's not a pickup.
She's a boat.
She's
a sea dew.
No, she's gone fishing. She's caught this fish, and she plans to marry him. And she plans to change him.
Yeah.
To make him the perfect husband for her, and then to marry him.
That's a weird thing.
She's not playing games.
Does that ever work? Women want to change their man?
Oh, yeah, it works.
Works?
Yeah,
sure.
Worked on you, Bess?
Yeah, it worked on me.
Of course it works. Times.
Yeah, it happened to me, but I got better.
There's probably you peak at some point.
Right.
In my opinion, when a man gets changed, really the person just wants to be changed.
Right.
I'll accept this change because I don't care about it.
Well,
I don't actually care.
But
if you try to change something that's important to me, we're going to have issues.
Right. Yeah. I hate the term to use the term beta male or alpha male, whatever, but a guy who will go with a more powerful woman to feel needed, to feel desired,
to
be important to their lives. I guess it's kind of like that, you know, gender politics aside, you know, either a dude trying to change a girl or vice versa. If you try to change the person, you're trying to maybe trying to make them better. So if I help you change, I feel validated, or, you know, I feel kind of...
Well, that sounds non-selfish version of it.
Well, right.
I
like to think it's that way. It's probably not.
It's probably not. If it's nice, it's... I mean, there's kind of a paradox in there where if you like somebody and you want to be with somebody because of who they are right now...
Yeah, you're supposed to like someone for who they are,
why
not for
the hell would you want to change it?
And that's what happens in the story.
Something else, right?
I don't see why. It's just weird because she wants him. Mm-hmm. Because she does this like nerd bait thing. Mm-hmm. And he obviously wants her because he beat up a guy for her.
Right.
Well, I mean, they both want each other, but once they have each other, she's like, oh, time to change this guy.
Exactly. Why would you...
He's too much of a brute.
Why would you go grab a burger and then turn it into two toasts, a piece of meat, and why would you change it?
Why would you buy a burger and take the meat out?
Yeah.
And at the end, she realizes when her friend...
Like a really bad sandwich.
No, but when her friend says, oh, he's a meek little lamb, you know, oh, you've really tamed him or whatever, you've beaten him into submission, he's so timid, and she goes... Oh, you know, it's like a sudden realization that she fell in love with a brute, with a rough man, and now that he's someone else, he's completely someone else. She wants to change him back. I've got to undo the damage, she says.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. You can't do that. Yeah. And it's not gonna work. In the long run, it can't work.
Well, you know, this is comics. This is clearly a male fantasy here. Because you have the way the story's written, I found that essentially it's not Loretta's story, it's actually Nick's.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's his own kind of brutish dude just trawling the beach to beat up nerds and make out with their girlfriends, which, you know, noble endeavor. and then he gets caught up in Loretta's web of... I don't know.
Can the term pussy whipping be used over here?
Well, he does.
Maybe.
He reveals at the end that he was on. Well, she reveals that, because she's the narrator. She reveals that he was only playing along. He was indulging her. You know,
that's a lot of indulging.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I don't think he knows he's been.
If he's been indulging her this long time, this is the long con. Like, yeah, I'm going to marry her.
Every time he does something she likes.
Yeah.
She gives him a little bit of sugar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's if that's not changing behaviors with the positive, I mean,
you know.
Well, the weird thing...
Maybe he's like, after I'm hypoglycemic.
He's a behaviorist. No, she is.
When they start,
a behaviorist.
When they start dating, she's like, he's still a brute. And you don't know why. Like, on their first date or whatever, she's like, oh, you're a brute. You're fighting back. But he's like a perfect gentleman.
Okay, first of all, on their first date, he shows up wearing a collared short sleeve shirt.
Right.
Plaid shirt. Which, and, you know, sensible slacks.
Yeah, very Canadian.
Very Canadian, but still, you know, it's sensible, nice, it's clean, it's
And she's dressed in the French style, which heralds the honeymoon in Paris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's very nice.
There's already foreshadowed.
Right.
Low belt, tight at the waist. It's marvelous.
Damn them hips.
And you made it weird.
Yep. It's weird love, Bass.
I know.
Get with the program.
I know.
I came prepared.
You are.
Yeah. And then she says, go change. So apparently he goes to the local funeral parlor and gets a suit on the cheap. Bravo.
And then he gets a kiss.
The first outfit still wasn't bad.
There's a lot of kissing with the moon in the background.
You know,
happens a lot.
When
2 pages in a row, there's a kiss with the moon.
Three
pages.
Yeah.
The bad part comes when he's playing... He's playing football on the beach.
Right.
That's where she's just bitchy then.
At first, I was like, okay, maybe she's into this guy. Then the football. He's playing football. What the hell? What do you do on the beach?
But the same kind of thing happens in a story we had in a theater before.
Okay.
You also snore a darling.
Yeah.
Also had some beach hijinks and the guy playing sports and looking at other girls or whatever, and that became an issue. So I'm thinking this is supposed to be the sort of shorthand for, you know, what Joe Gill here, what a man thinks a woman finds distasteful about men in general.
Yeah.
Sports.
So, men being men.
Well, that's the thing. They go to the beach. He plays with buddies. And she's like, ugh, why? It's like, and she's like, what's the line? He needs to be a gentleman or something. With he's not a good date on the beach. I mean, what is
childish games instead of instead of behaving the way a date should.
Yeah, but what do you do on a beach?
I mean, who's throwing the football? What is this date?
Archie, I think Archie is.
There's a pickup
football.
Game. There's they're a pickup again. Game of football on the on the beach, just, and he joins in.
I mean, what does she want him to do? Sit down beside her and look at her? I mean, he's on the beach. He's gonna have fun.
Yeah.
He's gonna do.
But
his
if it's
thing.
A date, his focus should be
she's
on her.
She's probably expecting a picnic basket, you know, a chilled bottle of rosé.
that would be nice, actually. I know. Would love that.
Yeah, screw you guys with your football. I'm gonna go get hammered, drunk.
You know, I'm getting rosé.
And though it doesn't. Show in the art that night she's going, well, he was so angry I thought he was gonna hit me, so so she thought this was like her anger at his behavior basically. Well, then she was in fear of some sort of domestic abuse situation.
Well, she took his car and she left him on the beach, and you know, one of your buddies in quotations is gonna bring you home. Well, that was basically a fuck you, buddy. I'm going home. You're sleeping on the couch.
That's really funny. She's like, hey, he didn't hit me.
So he's going to propose.
He's probably going to propose to it.
then again, this could all be like a fabrication on her part, too. Maybe he, you know.
Are you going meta where all the narration on every romance comic, all the narration is lying to us?
Why not?
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah, why not?
Unless the Joker's face pops up somewhere. It has to be. I mean,
just like a little Joker. If you should die before you wake.
But he does propose. She leaves him on the beach.
Yeah.
And he doesn't hit her.
They have a fight and doesn't hit her. Fine. I mean, that should be the normal.
And it does look like she's the one sleeping on the couch.
She's surprised.
I think she's probably waiting up for him.
Yeah, maybe.
So she just lay down on the.
She waited on the couch.
On the couch.
Oh, you're home now. Are you gonna hit me? Are you gonna hit me now?
Oh my God. Well, whatever.
And he's like, I don't know.
They've just had a fight. She left him on the beach. He comes home really late at night, drunk. I'm saying drunk.
Why not?
Well, I mean,
why not?
Why would he come in so late after he, you know?
Because he had to walk home because she took his car.
How
so
far
he
is
walked,
the beach?
I don't know. But he walks home because it's woods, so it's a bit.
Yeah.
So he walks home or whatever, and then he proposes. He actually proposes.
Well, he wakes her up and then takes her back out into the woods, according to these people.
So she's playing that game where she's taking away.
She said she doesn't play games in the beginning. She does not play games. Game. I don't play games.
Oh, Loretta.
Oh, that's what it means. Games mean football. Yeah.
she's playing games.
No!
Childish games, she calls it.
I don't like games!
So then they get married. They go to the honeymoon. He wanted to go to Miami because beaches.
But
beaches and football.
Miami Dolphins, you know, NFL pro team.
There you go.
This guy just loves football. Poor guy.
I love what they're saying. He wanted, I'll slip a golden ring on his finger and an invisible ring through his nose. She's taming the bull.
Yeah, she's
cattle.
Oh,
that's what that meant.
Yeah. That's what that meant.
Oh, now I feel dumb. I was like, what the hell? What kind of the 60s lingo is
story. My grandpa on my dad's side used to have like
a nose
cattle
ring?
And stuff like that, and he had a big bull who was, and he had that big ring in his nose.
Yeah.
And when the bull would go crazy, he'd just grab that thing and make the bull submit. I don't know. I
mean, oh man, that works.
Oh yeah, it works. Yeah.
Just pulling that little bit of cartilage and
I didn't think that existed outside of cartoons.
No, it really did.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
So he's the tamed bull. They come back from the honeymoon. They've got a house together. He's doing all the chores.
Yeah, he's like the perfect man now.
Right.
Oh, he's not the perfect man. Look at him checking out the French girl. French girls are awesome.
Yeah, we know so many.
I know.
Yep, she tries to correct all his worst habits, which this would be one. And you see, by the time he's on the plane, he doesn't, you know, he won't make eye contact with the stewardess.
He looks defeated on that plane.
Yeah, he looks so sad.
Yeah, and she says, that's my boy.
Oh my God.
Would you like something? No, nothing, thanks. That's my boy. You know,
she's condescending.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
But what if he wanted, like, peanuts or.
He doesn't.
He doesn't. She doesn't.
Wait. Do I want peanuts, honey? No, you don't. I don't want anything. this is not a relationship. The relationship is she decides everything.
What kind of game can you play with peanuts? Airplane peanuts?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Come on. Surprised. Use your imagination.
I guess they're shaped like footballs. I don't know.
So then the the climax comes, and it's and then the climax is in the air. The climax is in the apartment. They get two friends over, one of whom looks a lot like George.
I'm telling you, it's George.
It could be George.
A lot of redheads.
It's actually George.
Is it?
You think?
No, it isn't.
No, but it'd be great if it was. It finally got over like his crippling fear.
Well, that's the thing. He hit George. George fell. A girl came, and George married. He's like, "Are you okay, George?" And he married her.
Because she seems to have been there.
George is now a professional football player. Yeah.
Loretta's friend refers to the beach incident.
So she
might have witnessed it. George is saying, "Well, I'm not getting married. I'm never getting married if this is what it means."
Yeah.
So he's ashamed for his friend who's become a submissive lamb. And when they leave, suddenly they hear slap, slap, slap. Could be anything. But no, there is an on-panel reveal of Loretta getting spanked.
Yes. And
this is unacceptable in any... I don't know how this...
It's a fetish for some people.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But fetishes are meant to be played out, not put on paper. You don't do that.
I mean, it's clearly her fetish because I asked for it and I got it. Like, she wants it. But she says, I didn't expect it to hurt this much. So.
But I think he kind of likes it too.
Well, it's just a weird dialogue between these two. He's like, not a woman. Who wears the pants in this family? And she's like, you do, Nick. I'll never forget it again.
That's like Beyonce.
Thunderdome. Who runs Barter Town?
Really? Basically, if we're to trust her narration, Nick, the brute, Nick assaults her on the beach.
Yeah.
Assaults her boyfriend, assaults her sexually.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The crotches
are really close in the panel. There's only a thin layer of.
In this last page, Loretta is wearing a red dress.
Oh, well, they all do.
The magical red dress?
That is her magical red herring there, this red dress.
Okay, so that's how they meet, and then she proceeds to pile on the abuse, verbal abuse on him, and make him change, and make him, nothing he does is ever good enough until supposedly he's playing along. Like, that's what she wants? I'll just... Mm-hmm. Eventually, I'll spank her. Apparently.
Well, that's the thing. She's like...
That is playing the long con.
It's a very, very long con.
Just to spank a girl? Like, look, well, that's a weird con. Spanking is off the table,
because
I'm not marrying you.
She's like, and finally gave in and gave me a hint. That's not a hint. That's a literal slap.
That's not a hint.
It's like, I'll give you a hint and start slapping you. It's like, that's not a hint.
I spit on you that you should treat her thus.
Yeah, that's like saying, I'm going to fire a warning shot, but then you just crack her across the jaw.
But they're both happy about this. Look, last battle they're kissing, they're like, oh, yes, this is how relationships work.
So, what?
We play games for 7 years, he slaps me after that, and we're all okay.
You know what? I think that is how relationships should work, because if you're a crazy person, you should probably meet up with another crazy person and play games for 7 years, and then slap each other on the ass.
Get yourselves out of the pool.
Yeah, just get out.
You can live that and nobody
gets
to...
Actually, please do. Crazies should be together.
Like, in a few months,
I'll be happily ever after, had no children. Five birds.
Like, in a few months, I'll be 6 years with my girlfriend. Should I start slapping her?
I would not recommend it.
No.
You didn't start earlier, you should.
Okay, Marty, I don't want to judge any of your fetishes or whatever. I would say talk to her about it first.
Yes.
Maybe go, hey, would you like to try spanking? I'm down. And then
that would ruin the game, Fern.
Well,
yeah, you need a game. You need a football in there.
Yeah.
Grab a football, slap that.
I don't like football, though.
Hey, baby, want to spank the football?
I don't know. It's so weird because...
Offer that to me? I might say yes.
It's so weird because what's the moral of the story?
Weirdos should be together. That's the moral of the story.
The origin of the story is
secret origins.
Strange.
No, man, the origin is probably like a lunar eclipse with the planets aligning.
Every time there's a full moon, they kiss. So they're werewolf kissers.
Right. So maybe it's like a monthly date. But
it was a blood moon, so they slapped each other.
So Because on the one hand, you've got Joe Gill, who's writing 125 pages a week
of pure gold.
You know what? That's probably the moral of the story. Don't make Joe Gill write 125 pages of comics a week.
He's going to try things because he could get bored with his own work. Yeah. He's writing so much, he's loopy.
Is it the artist who exaggerates? Maybe. You know, sometimes that happens. Writers do something like, oh, he like scolds her, and then the panel's slapping her on the butt. Like, I don't know.
With big slaps. Yeah.
That could happen, I guess.
I suppose. But
because they don't really talk about...
In my imagination, Vince Coletta isn't his own man. He's best known as Jack Kirby's inker. In other words, he's second fiddle. I'm working with a comic book genius most of the time. Whatever he draws, I'm inking over that. It's fine. I'm not straying from his work.
What's the movie? That Kirby crackle? I feel bad for this guy. He had to ink all that Kirby crackle. I really feel bad for this guy.
He was inker on like the New God stuff.
Was it Chasing Amy, the movie?
Sure.
Or they call the inker guy just the tracer?
The tracer.
And he gets into a fight with another guy? So you trace, right?
The tracer.
The tracer.
But here, he's doing all the art, as far as we know. I don't know if Joe Gill colored it, because in between writing 125 pages a week,
colors.
He also colored... Well, a lot of comics.
He needs to get his mind off stuff, you know. Coloring's very soothing.
I find it, it's very relaxing. So there's that. There's, Joe Gill loopy.
Maybe that explains why her bikini changed colors in two panels. Screw it, it's black now. I ran out of writing. I got no time for this.
Well, sometimes it happened. I mean, he's... You know, the editor saw it and said, well, I can see nipples here. Yeah. You know, color over it. Black it out.
What?
That happened. But also, it's the Shakespeare riff.
Yeah, okay.
Because Taming of the Shrew isn't a play that is easily explained today. I mean, it's... I don't want
to... You know,
we can't exactly call it feminist.
Compared to other Shakespeare plays, like Othello, black guy gets mad. You know, you can't resume...
That is not how I would summarize Othello.
Do you know Shakespeare?
As an armchair Shakespearean scholar...
English.
But no, Taming of the Shrew...
You use too many words. Othello is summated this way. Jealousy. Okay. That's what it's about. It's about jealousy.
Poetic, Mike. Poetic.
Thank you. So, Taming of the Shrew, Marty.
Yeah, Taming of the Shrew.
You've read it?
Yeah.
Seen it?
I've read it. I've seen adaptations. It's one of these weird plays of Shakespeare where the ending, it's the same thing. Like I said at first, the roles reversed. Mm-hmm. This guy trying to tame this wild girl. And the ending has this weird monologue of the woman just saying, the man was right all along. I am wild and idiotic and whatever, whatever.
Which isn't my reading of it.
No.
My reading of it... I guess it's a feminist reading, but in the wake of, I understand it's one of Shakespeare's early plays, so it's not all there yet. But in later plays, if we look at, even an early play like Romeo and Juliet, the character Juliet, if we look at Rosalind in, even Beatrice in Much Ado About Nothing, those female characters are usually very powerful spirits in the plays.
Right.
They're rich characters, they're richer than the men, they're stronger than the men, and they impose their will on the men, and often disguise themselves as boys as a sort of metaphor for it. That happens a lot. And often they're very shrewish, or they can be shrewish. Beatrice in All Much Ado About Nothing is considered a shrew. So in The Taming of the Shrew, I have problems seeing it as a sexist play only. I can't imagine the same guy writing all these women and being so...
Yeah, that's what's weird about it, because if you just do it by text, it's just so weird seeing it, because it's just weirdly sexist right at the end. You're like, oh, maybe Shakespeare's gonna show different side. No, it's just the woman submitting to the man.
Yeah.
The end.
My reading of it, my feminist reading of it, is that at the end, because all throughout, the shrew won't see reason at all. I mean, she won't submit to a man. She decides she's never going to submit to a man. She's not submitting to a man for any reason. Mm-hmm. Any reason whatsoever. So he goes through the motions of, he's a dilettante. It's exaggerated. His boorishness is exaggerated. So he breaks her down. He mistreats her until she submits. But I think it's wrong to see the play as,
he finally breaks her down. Pushed down enough, she's going to submit.
That's why I like the players who play the last monologue very sarcastically. Yeah. So it's kind of fun.
And I don't even see it as as like she's sarcastic or she needs to be sarcastic. Mm. I think she only, at that point, at some point, she realizes that it's okay to submit to someone you love. Submitting to someone can be a choice. And submitting isn't necessarily wrong. Right. It's being dominated that's wrong. The dominator is wrong.
Oh, there you
the
go.
Submissive
yeah.
isn't wrong. No. The submissive right. only accepts a situation.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down. The what I found was the major wrongness, air quotations here. It was the spanking part. It's more S&M. And It is. It's dominance. You know, there's a submissive, there's a dominant, which, you know, under certain circumstances.
But in the relationship, she was always dominant.
She was always dominant. It is Taming of the Shrew, all that, yes.
And it's probably why the structure is so strange. The play's structure is strange.
Yeah.
And I think Joe Gill was just being, you know, just riffing off the play. And in the play, suddenly, the woman submits. Just as suddenly, well, I mean, it's a weird twist because...
It's not that
the
suddenly...
man submits and then the woman she becomes the shrew again.
Right. Although in this, I don't want to give the writer any credit in anything. Because right
now...
No.
You get no credit.
We can spin this around, but it's a dumb sexist ending. Like,
it
that's
is.
All it is.
It is.
It is very like, 1960s.
Even the panel right before, the two friends are leaving, and the woman's like,
that is the worst part of this
And you hear slap, 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 and the guy's like, I hope to heaven he is. Like, he's happy. Like,
that's the morals. All kinds of wrong.
Men should... slap their on the butt, like treat them like a child.
Well, he doesn't know it's the butt. I mean, he's just saying. Yeah.
In his mind, he's beating the shit out of her.
Exactly.
You know, tell someone you fell on a doorknob. You know, it's just it's crazy.
It's all kinds of wrong.
Yeah.
All kinds of wrong. It started with an assault and it finishes with an assault.
Thankfully, we have the next panel to kind of go. Well, okay.
But it does resolve the whole situation where basically that's the lesson, Marty. I think the lesson is don't change the characteristics of the person you fell in love with because then you're going to fall out of love with them.
Mm-hmm.
So she changes Nick and then, well, thankfully he didn't really change for reals. You know, he was faking it.
But I mean,
because
she affected the
whole situation is resolved by him becoming a brute again.
So
she starts by beating up someone, he ends by beating up someone. So she does love him as that brute.
Why does she change like his love for football and not his love for beating up women? Like, I don't get it. Like,
well, he didn't used to beat up women. He used to beat up Archie. But I mean, it's all kinds of wrong because she's not trying to change him for the better. She's trying to change him for something she kind of wants just because she can. Yeah. She's manipulative in this thing. She's not a good person.
Like poor
I'm
Nick.
I'm not defending this lady.
She took away his one time, like his one ability of beating up Archie and playing football. What does the man have left? He starts spanking.
You know what?
Her.
He wanted Miami.
He wanted
That's
Miami.
All he wanted. Yeah. He wanted Miami pre-drug wars. All right? He wanted the Cuban sandwiches and the dancing, and he wanted... he went to Paris.
You want to watch the Caronet tournament? She wants to listen to music, so you compromise. You listen to music. You like earth jazz? She prefers Klingon opera, so you compromise. You listen to Klingon opera. So here you were, ready to have a nice night, watching the Caronet match, and you wind up spending an agonizing evening listening to Klingon opera.
And I wonder what the relationship will be from now on, because she'd gotten used to him, you know, accepting everything and then doing all the chores and wearing an apron.
Are there more Loretta and Nick comics?
Of course not.
Damn it.
That's where it ends.
It's awful. It's awful. These people need help.
Yeah. So properly a weird love story.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes.
Because it doesn't follow the usual tropes of romance comics.
I'm not even sure it's love.
Is there a woman out there who read this? A girl who, you know, they were marketed at girls.
Right.
Was there a girl who read this comic and said, that's me. That's how I feel. That's the relationship I want to have.
I don't know.
That's the lesson I've taken from it.
I don't know.
I'd like to say that history shows that no.
Yeah.
no woman ever looked at this and said, yes, this is, I can relate to this guy, this lady, and I want to do that to someone. And I'm thinking, no.
Again, I think the history teaches us no, but then again, we now have the internet, which teaches us otherwise.
Yeah, but I mean,
there are people with weird fetishes, and you know,
well, this isn't a fetish, though.
It's not a fetish.
It's not a fetish at all.
I'm gonna date a man, change him completely until I no longer want him. Yeah.
But that, it doesn't seem, I mean, the sex in the,
it's not fetishy.
The sex has to be amazing.
The sex in this is rewards. It's to change his behavior. I mean, they're not playing
again,
dominant.
This is the issue, I can't even
change a dog's behavior with treats. I don't know what she's doing with.
But you can. You can change people's behaviors with treats.
This is the issue we're going to run into all these comics, is like comics for women written by men.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So this is a guy's perspective of what...
I promised to bring some... I found some comics that were written by women.
This seems... Yeah.
A man from the 60s thinks what a woman wants. Yeah.
Well,
think,
you know what?
I don't know.
It feels like a Lifetime movie, but with the roles reversed, where it's the guy who's the victim.
It feels like a cautionary tale for young ladies not to try to pussy whip people.
Or a cautionary tale for boys that if she tries to change you, yeah, just go along with it. Then
go
spank
ahead
her.
And hit her. Yeah, that's it's all kinds of wrong. It's all kinds of wrong.
And if it had a different twist.
If
this is what I would have done, maybe let's keep the whole setup intact.
Okay.
And then the last the last half page, we change that.
They go to Miami.
He's slapping a melon.
Instead of slapping her, it's the point where she's just realized that she's changed him too much. Mm. And then there's regret. There's her leaving. There's that's a good cautionary tale where she's changed the person too much.
Right.
And he leaves?
She wants to leave.
Okay.
She realizes he's not the man she fell in love with. Now, that would make sense. That would make narrative sense to me.
Yeah, it would.
Oh, definitely.
Suddenly puts her across his knee is so out there, so random.
And it's explosive. I mean,
right.
He's submitted completely.
And he didn't wait for the guests to be very far from the door. They're right outside the door. Come here. We do not, endorse this.
No, we do not. But it's 1967, so I
well,
guess.
Well, still, I think that's it. 67
very,
is
very way, late. 60s
way late for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this should have been like.
If this hippie movement,
I don't think
was
this is good.
Swing.
Yeah, this isn't good in any era. But if it were the 40s or 50s,
I understand more.
Yeah, I understand more why it's there. 1967, Joe Gill. Geez.
I know.
No, 67 is not that. I don't know, guys.
Well, it's it's the late 60s. It's women's lib. It's I don't know. It seems very retro.
Exactly. That's kind of why I think it's.
This is a comic holding up the status quo at the time. That's
true.
What it is.
It could be one of those last actually. Remnants trying to
hold the
everything is
down.
Fine. Please don't burn your bras.
Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
I often make fun of Charlton Comics.
You never.
Yes,
know.
Very often. I've got a lot of blog posts at the Blog of Geekery where it's usually called Charlton Comics. Why don't you want to try? Stuff like that.
Charlton
Comics. We don't need to try. It's enough that we try. You know, stuff like that.
Charlton Comics. Just die.
It's just. And Charlton Comics, we don't want your money. You know, I've written a lot of these posts because looking at their covers, or very often it's like, well, what is this? What is this cheap? And they usually had very cheap looking comics. I mean, I don't know about the 60s, but the ones I had access to in the early 80s or late 70s were smaller than the normal comic. Mm-hmm. The ink would run off on your fingers.
Wow.
Very cheap paper.
Yeah, they had very cheap paper, very cheap press. They had their own press, so they could, publish very cheap comics. And the often, reprinted stuff. There are comics where the number 5 is actually number 1 again, but it's number 5. Same cover, same everything. So
so they didn't try that hard.
No, it was a cheap enterprise very often. And often they replaced letterers with a typewriter.
Okay.
So they had, mechanical...
That one must have been awful.
Lettering. Although, today... All lettering is mechanical.
You know what? Yeah, but it looks better, actually. You know, and we can do it now. But, I mean, it's also in this comic, I mean, the portrayal of this woman. She's a strong lady, right? She would be, in that time, somebody who's considered a strong lady, strong-willed,
she would be,
independent.
I would, well...
Well, yeah, that's her attitude. Her attitude is
That's
totally,
her attitude, right? And this kind of stuff would make people think that every woman who's like independent and strong is going to be like this one.
Actually, just wants to be subjugated.
Yeah. She just wants to be pushed down.
This is like trying to hold up status quo. Yeah. It's like, don't trust strong women because they just want to submit you.
Yeah.
But they really just want to be submitted. Like, it's a weird.
It's a weird.
It's an anti.
Yeah, it's a yes means no and no means yes type thing.
It's an anti revolution type thing. It's like, no, status quo. Like, strong women are just gonna.
Don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled by these feminists.
She wants to be submitted. So yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. I don't know what to say.
No, well, I think we've said it all.
Yeah. Advertisement for another awesome comic book podcast.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn. And we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Wait, that wasn't an ad for Diablo Frank's Martian Manhunter podcast? Oh, whatever. Mailbag? Yeah, mailbag. All right. On Twitter, Coffee and Comics blog for episode 2 said, I have now heard a French-Canadian Western romance. My life is either richer or poorer for the experience. Well, I gotta say, that was an international collaboration. We did have real Texans in that one. But on to comments about the last episode, episode 5, which was about Secret Wars. Film and Water podcast said, great show. And Michelle Fifa, who wrote part of the Secret Wars Secret Love special, was stoked that we called this story a romance superhero horror story. Says, I'll take it. So glad Secret Love pulled your heartstrings. Props to Grandmaster Emily Shasha. That's a Twitter handle with a lot of little symbols on it. Hard to express on audio. Facebook comments. Clinton Robison said, a fun show. Everybody needs to be checking these guys out. Thanks. Mike Arsenault, one of Fern's friends, always eager for a new episode, said, sweet, grabbing it now. And Rob Kelly from the aforementioned Film and Water podcast, also Fire and Water, Who's Who, you name it. And on that last Who's Who podcast, there was some bickering between him and the Irredeemable Shag on what the title of the podcast is exactly. He says, on my phone, it says Lonely Hearts Episode 5, just saying. Like I said, different platforms, different titles. It grows and shrinks like other things. On the blog, we did have comments on last episode's Romance Comics Theater. Specifically, Sally P. from the Green Lantern Butts Forever blog said, wait, the one guy was ready to punch her for trying on shoes? Yeesh! You see, there's kind of a theme on these old romance comics sometimes, eh? And Martin Gray said, that final shopping guy? Gay. Well, certainly how Fern played it. I'm not sure it was appropriate for the story, but you make choices. Now onto the episode itself. Council of Geeks said, I've been avoiding Secret Wars and will probably continue to do so largely on principle due to an aversion to continuity reboots at this point. However, I have to admit that these little divergences sounded quite fun. Who knows, maybe this event will yield some positive outcomes after all. But for now, I'll probably still keep my distance and let podcasts keep me up to date by proxy. Glad to do so. And Michael May from Michael May's Adventure blog said, another great episode. I haven't been reading Secret Wars, so I missed the Secret Love issue, but now I want to track that down. And if you don't mind a suggestion for a future topic, Crimson Peak has got me in the mood for some gothic romance, and I'd love to hear you guys talk about something like Haunted Love or Forbidden Tales of Dark Mansion. An excellent suggestion, especially good since Marty is a big Del Toro fan, so you can expect some of that in the future, for sure. And then we have Facebook likes and shares from Nathalie Gauguin, Isabelle Godin, Max Romero, Clinton Robison, Cassidy Lynn Godet, David Fiore, Podcast a la Vista, baby. Great name. Mike Gillis, Rob Kelly, and then Twitter retweets and favorites from Ange, Trekker Talk, Pillow Talk, Zoraida Merlo, Coffee and Comics Blog, Count Druncula, Matante Fusil, and Film and Water Podcast.
Leave a comment on the blog at lonelyheartspodcast.wordpress.com or on iTunes or on Facebook. The page is Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast. Or on Twitter, I'm Siskoid, Fern is Idiot Brigadier, Bass is Revue_Bass,
@revue_bass, and Marty is Marty Light. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the speaker. All music, audio clips, and images are used for entertainment purposes only and are believed covered under fair use. We don't make any money off this program, so no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks for listening.
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
Where that poor man probably just had like a dartboard with situations. Like, all right, he's a businessman. She's a swimsuit model. They go to the Congo next.
Spanking.
Spanking. Yeah, spanking. There
damn,
we go.
I hit spanking again.
Right, she's a slut.
You know, she's a school teacher. He's a cowboy. And
spanking. Why do I always hit spanking?
He's got like spanking 16 times on that board. So all right. So yeah, so,
spanking is on the dart.
Yeah, if he misses,
yeah, the doctor spanking. Is spanking the housewife. Yeah. All right,
always.
Yeah.
You know what kind of reminds me of Thunderdome? Max Headroom. So you should watch that. Now there's the TV kind
yeah,
of
yeah, right, yeah. Right now. The MC in the Thunderdome.
You've right. unsold me on Max Headroom.
All right. So this is us saying goodbye as we devolve into a debate about something that's unrelated. Just that's how we came in. That's how we're going out.